What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
It's Adam and Heath talking DFS, talking FanDuel and DraftKings. One last chance to make some money and enjoy some DFS during the NFL season. And Heath, I know you and I are really fired up for the big game bowl this weekend.
You know, I've been planning my big game bowl party since the last big game bowl that we were allowed to have a party for. Big spread for the big game bowl.
Did you not have a big game bowl party last year? I thought you did.
Well, you know.
Like a small one.
It was outdoors.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Wouldn't mind being outdoors in Florida right now. I'll tell you that right now. I'm freezing
it's
up here.
It's raining and 58.
I will take that. I will take that. Honestly, that is like paradise right now. It's been a rough winter. The Big Game Bowl is what it's called on FanDuel. Yeah, you can join the Big Game Bowl contest. It's pretty funny. Anyway, we'll give you FanDuel advice. We'll give you DraftKings advice. And we'll start. Let's start with the differences in the formats, I guess. What do we need to know format wise?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest difference is that when you're choosing your captain on DraftKings, the price is going to be different for the player you put in the captain spot as opposed to the player you play in your flex spots. And on FanDuel, when you put your MVP in, who also gets 1.5 times points, the price is the same as it is for a flex or for an MVP. And so it is definitely on DraftKings is more beneficial if you can find a cheaper player who has a big game to play in the captain spot, because then you can get both the quarterbacks in. It's possible to play both quarterbacks on FanDuel with one of them in the MVP spot. And as we all know, quarterbacks generally score more fantasy points except for Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and Cooper Kupp is the most expensive player on FanDuel, and is he on DraftKings? I don't think so. He's, I think he is. He is, most expensive player. And they both, I mean, I'm not sure if you said, I know you said it for FanDuel, but both on DraftKings and FanDuel, you are getting 1.5 times the points for your MVP or your captain.
And the other thing is, with the bonuses and the full PPR, the edge for Cooper Kupp in terms of fantasy points per game over everyone else based on what he's done this season is much larger than it is on FanDuel. You look and Kupp's at like 22 fantasy points a game for the season. Stafford's at 21, Burrow's at 20. It's still incredible that a wide receiver is outscoring both quarterbacks. But on DraftKings, it's 28 fantasy points per game for Kupp, and it's a lower, similar number for Stafford and Burrow.
Want to hear a fun stat? I don't know if this matters at all, but fun stat. In the regular season, Cooper Kupp had 25 more red zone targets than Ja'Marr Chase.
Well, that's not really fair to Ja'Marr Chase, though, because Ja'Marr Chase doesn't need to get to the red zone. Yeah. The Bengals score from the 50.
Yeah, no, he's a big play guy for sure, but he actually had a very low amount of red zone targets and green zone targets, especially when you compare him to the other elite wide receivers. In fact, if you're looking... Oh, go ahead.
I would be curious. I would guess that Matthew Stafford had at least twice as many red zone pass attempts as Joe Burrow.
I don't think it's going to be that much, but I will tell you, because Joe Burrow was very low on that list for a while. But I will tell you, and I will also tell you that in the last seven games leading up to the conference championship game, CJ Uzama started getting a lot more targets. He actually led the Bengals in red zone targets. I didn't count the conference championship game. He played barely any snaps. Stafford, all right, so you might be onto something here. Stafford had 112 red zone pass attempts. Burrow had 54. Good for you. Good for you.
Damn, man. That was almost perfect.
Somebody wants to know if kickers are available in DFS.
Absolutely. Our favorite position of all players. The kickers are on FanDuel at 9,500 and 9,000, which is just slightly less than Cam Akers and slightly more than Tyler Boyd. Now, if you go to DraftKings, the kickers are 4,000 and 3,800, slightly more than the Bengals DST, slightly less than CJ Uzama. So they're quite a bit cheaper on DraftKings than they are on FanDuel. The other major difference, you can play the defenses on DraftKings. The defenses are not available on FanDuel. And the Rams defense is one of my favorites just because I think probably the biggest mismatch in this game is the Rams defensive line against the Bengals offensive line.
Yeah, it really does feel like a big mismatch. In fact, I look at the numbers, I look at the matchups, I don't see, based on paper, how the Bengals win, but I do think they could definitely win. They've won six in a row, other than week 18, where they were resting guys. They've upset the one and the two seed on the road. I mean, they're better than they are on paper, but that's a huge
disadvantage. I wish I could remember what the advanced stat was, but somebody had put together a chart on Twitter, and it was some advanced, it might have been EPA, it might have been, I can't remember what it was exactly, but it just showed the relative ranking of the offenses and defenses that have been in the Super Bowl over the last 10 years. And the Bengals are the second worst team, basically, to be in the Super Bowl by that measure over the last 10 years. I think you can make a pretty good argument that, like, who was saying they actually, like, I know a lot of people were cheering for the Bengals over the Chiefs, but nobody really thought the Bengals were going to beat the Chiefs, I don't think.
I did not.
They shouldn't have.
No. Nope.
So they could win this game, but they really shouldn't.
Yeah. I think their defensive coordinator is doing a great job. But yes. The other thing to keep in mind here is how tough of a matchup is the Rams? This is obviously DFS relevant here because they were 15th in the NFL in scoring defense. And that really shocks you. And you look at what has Joe Burrow done, or what has Cincinnati done? What has Cincinnati done against great defenses? They've faced two top five defenses, top five scoring defenses, and they scored 15 points against the Broncos. Let me just make sure I'm right. They've played 20 games. They've faced two top five scoring defenses, 15 points at Denver, 19 points a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at Tennessee. They did face the Chiefs twice, and we're pretty good offensively against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are a top 10 scoring defense. And in your mind, you're thinking the Rams must be a really good defense, really good scoring defense. They're 15th. They're 7th in yards per play. They're really good in the red zone, 8th best in the red zone. But, it seems like the perception doesn't line up with how well the points allowed, although they have had a pretty tough schedule. Go ahead, what's your question?
Is that points allowed just defensive points allowed?
No.
Because Matthew Stafford led the NFL in pick sixes this year.
I don't know. I'm just going on Pro Football Reference and looking at scoring defense. But I know if you looked at offensive points, it would count pick sixes. Right. So I don't. It's a good question. 7th in yards per play is probably a better indication of what kind of defense they are. All right, so let's talk a little more DFS here. We talked about the difference in the formats and MVP versus captain. Heath laid that out. One FanDuel's got one and DraftKings has one, and the price changes on DraftKings, but they're both worth 1.5 points. Now, do you go with the chalk at your MVP or your captain? Because I have Cam Akers on FanDuel and I have T. Higgins on DraftKings. Do you need to be a little bit different in this one game slate?
You're going to have to be different somewhere. I think that the two most important things in one game slates, one, tell a story. The more plays you can have that are correlated with the story of the way you think the game is going to go, the better. For instance, I don't really think it'd be a very good idea to play Joe Mixon and the Rams defense. Although the second thing, like if you're playing in one of these contests with 200,000 people in it, and there's only so many options, you're going to have to do something weird or something that beforehand you look at and says, well, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like you need to hit on a play. If you want to win one of the big contests, you need to hit on a player scoring a touchdown that no one else really wants to play or that doesn't make a lot of sense to play.
I think the Bengals defense kind of fits that mold because of what you just said about Stafford.
Right.
Leading the league in pick sixes. And that's the thing about the Rams. They're really hard to beat when he's not throwing interceptions, but you never know when he's just going to start throwing interceptions. He's been erratic this year. So I don't have the Bengals DST, but I'm thinking about it just to take a shot. Who's a player that you need to have, you think?
I think on DraftKings, it's the Rams defense. Just because their price at 3,400, at least if you play them in the flex spot, just allows you so many options to do other things. And I think that they, at the very least, are going to get some sacks on Joe Burrow. And I like their chances of getting a turnover. On FanDuel, it's a little bit tougher just because their pricing is never quite as sharp as DraftKings and the it doesn't change. I think what you probably need to do on FanDuel is you need to pick the quarterback that you think is going to be the best, play him as the MVP, and then find the guy who you is going to score the touchdown that no one's expecting.
Yeah, and that's obviously a tough thing to call, but I think Kendall Blanton has a chance at that. Obviously, that's if Tyler Higbee does not play. The three tight ends, whether it's Higbee, Uzama, Blanton, they're all priced very similarly. Higbee and
where is Sample?
He's cheaper, but he's in there, right? Because now is that if Uzama's out, Uzama insists he's playing, or is that even if he's in?
No, I think Uzama's probably going to play, and I think Sample's probably a better tournament DFS play if Uzama does play.
Yeah,
like if Uzama's out, then Sample's going to maybe become kind of a popular punt play to get the studs into your lineup.
Okay, so my next question was about a sneaky sleeper, but we may have just answered it. You're looking at the tight ends. The tight ends have been pretty heavily targeted for both teams, and the Bengals stink against tight ends. They're 26th against tight ends. Now, they faced some of the best of the best, and that's usually who's had the big games, but they do give up a lot of touchdowns to tight ends. So, I mean, is that one place you're looking at for sleepers?
I think it is. Like a lot of times I like to look at like the fourth wide receiver or something, but these are teams that really, really concentrate their targets amongst their best players. And so I don't know if there's going to be a lot of opportunity there. I think, like, I don't know if he'll be a sleeper just because of what he did last week, but Samaje Perine is dirt cheap and still gets used in the passing game a lot for the Bengals. So Perine might be somebody that you'd want to look at. On DraftKings, he's only 2,400. It's probably the tight ends or Perine for me. I do think that there is one narrative that I wouldn't hate would be playing the Rams defense with both Akers and Sony Michel. And that's just a theory where you're saying, I think the Rams are going to dominate the Bengals. They're going to run all over them and they're going to shut them down defensively. And the second half is just going to be a party basically where they're just running the ball. And so you get those two running backs and the Rams defense. That trio might be enough to where then you can just play chalk around them.
Yeah, I think the offensive line versus defensive line that you talked about early in the show, that's one area that I'm really worried about for the Bengals. And the other is, can they stop the Rams running game? They don't have a very good run defense, and the Rams do. And by the way, when you talk about telling a story, you know, the story that I think I'm telling with my lineups is Rams run the ball pretty well, and I like Akers, and we'll have to talk about the Akers-Michelle split because it was fairly even last week after the fumbles that Akers had against the Bucks. So Rams run the ball pretty well. Rams take a lead, and Rams do a decent job against Jamar Chase. Jalen Ramsey is going to want to shadow him. I don't think he can completely shut him down. I mean, he's tried to shadow Justin Jefferson, and Jefferson had a good game. He tried to shadow Mike Evans, and Evans had a huge game. He had 16 targets, but he had a big game. But that's why I'm looking at T. Higgins. He's in my FanDuel and my DraftKings lineup. So it's a lot of passing for Burrow. It's an Akers-Higgins game. I don't know if it's going to turn out that way, but that's a story I'm telling with my lineup, Heath.
I think the thing that makes, and I don't know that the Rams will do this because I know Ramsey will at least get some say But I almost think the thing that makes more sense is put Ramsey on T. Higgins.
That's a Belichick thing.
And double team Chase.
Right. He said he wants
on the island with Higgins.
He said he wants to shadow Chase. He said he wants that. It's an interesting concept. It's kind of what the Patriots were famous for doing. They would, you know, they would double team the best guy and they put Gilmore or something on the second best guy when they had a really good number two. So what do you think? I mean, Chase or Higgins, who do you think we should lean toward?
I don't plan on playing either one of them on DraftKings just because of the strategy that I have over there. But on FanDuel right now, I'm leaning towards Chase. I can afford either, and I prefer Chase. I just think if your narrative is that the Bengals are going to be playing from behind, I think that lends itself to more YOLO balls from Burrow, and those generally go Chase's direction.
I mean, there's such a big difference in price on DraftKings. Chase is 3,400 and Higgins is 7,600. It's a little closer on FanDuel.
I do think that Higgins is going to be far more popular on DraftKings than Chase is.
Because of the price.
And he's definitely a better value.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it looks, we're going to give you some lineups, talk a little bit more about these matchups, but the DFS podcast is really going to help you. So if you want an edge while setting your Super Bowl DFS lineup, you check out the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. That's Frank Stanfill, Mike McClure, and Sia Najad. They're giving you deep dives in the player props, on the pricing on FanDuel and DraftKings. Listen to the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast wherever you listen to FFT. You can also hear our experts on the Early Edge podcast powered by Sportsline. That's live on YouTube Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern until the end of the game. They're going to give you best bets. They do a great job. So check that out. That's the Early Edge podcast live on YouTube Sunday at 4 p.m. until the end of the game. They'll keep giving you bets throughout the game. Love live bets. All right. So as we look at this game, I guess let's start with the quarterbacks, right? And we go to DraftKings and just looking at the flex rankings. Stafford is 10,800 and Burrow is 10,600. On FanDuel, Stafford is 15,500 and Burrow is 15,000. They are very similarly priced. Who do you like better in this game, Stafford or Burrow?
My intention as of right now is to play both Stafford and Burrow on both sites. I like Stafford better. Stafford's the guy who will likely be my MVP over on FanDuel. I'll play both as flexes on DraftKings, but I just don't see, because I don't, with the narrative that I think that the Rams are going to win, and I want to play more Rams than I do Bengals, I don't want to play Mixon. I don't really want to play one of the wide receivers without Burrow. So I think I'm just going to play Stafford and Burrow and then try to be creative outside of that.
Yeah, if you look at the Bengals against quarterbacks, they face a lot of good ones. Most of the good ones have fallen in the 23 to 25 fantasy point range in 6 point per passing touchdown league. So that's maybe 20 to 22 or something like that in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues. That's usually where the good quarterbacks live. There have been a few. Mike White had a huge game. I think Brady had a huge game.
Well, I want to clarify one, because like we were talking about, you've got to do something that looks a little bit silly if you want to win
Herbert,
one of the big contests.
Not Brady, sorry, go ahead.
The other key, though, is that you need to have the two or three top scoring players in the game, regardless of how much they're rostered. Like, you can get away with fading the chalk in some instances on the big slate because there's nine different spots to fill, and you just hit on the other players. You have the right combination. In this one, you need to have the two or three or maybe four top scoring plays. So I really think I'm leaning pretty heavily to playing both Stafford and Burrow.
And yeah, and then you say, well, Burrow's facing the Rams. Are they tough? Well, they've actually been crazy good against quarterbacks. They got lit up by Aaron Rodgers in week 12. He scored 30 fantasy points. They have not allowed 20 fantasy points to a quarterback since then. That's their last nine games. And Garoppolo in the championship game was the first quarterback, the only quarterback in those nine games to throw multiple touchdown passes. So it looks tough. When you dive a little bit deeper, who have they played? They did face Kyler Murray twice, once with Hopkins, once with, I mean, they humiliated Kyler Murray in the wild card round, right? They faced Brady, but he didn't have Godwin or Antonio Brown. But he still threw over 50 times. Didn't have a very good game. Only threw one touchdown pass. The competition wasn't that tough. They faced Russell Wilson when Russell Wilson stunk. But, I mean, that's really impressive. That is one multiple touchdown pass game in their last nine. And no quarterback in those nine games. Cousins, Brady, Kyler Murray twice, Russell Wilson. Garoppolo twice, for what that's worth. None of them scored 20 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. And Joe Burrow, you know, those two games against Baltimore and Kansas City, week 16 and 17, scored 46 and 42 points. He's been solid since then, but not amazing. So I don't know. What do you do with all that information?
I still think, like, even without multiple touchdown passes, Joe Burrow could be one of the top three or four scorers. It's just scoring is so slanted towards quarterbacks, and you're going to have to play at least one Bengals player. If you're going to stack the Bengals, like if you want to go that angle, then you're definitely playing their quarterback. And if you're trying to stack the Rams and only play one Bengal, then Burrow's the one that I want to have. But yeah, like I don't know that there's necessarily huge upside for him. And if Burrow has a big game and you're on the Rams side of this game, then it's not going to help you to have him anyway.
I'm basically throwing out all the stats and just saying, like, the Bengals are this team of destiny, and Joe Burrow can have a huge game against them. I think he can. I think he can have a huge game against them. I don't think he will. I think he'll be in the, you know, I think he'll be solid. I think he'll be 270 and two touchdowns with an interception, something like that. But I'm just not worried about the matchup. Like, they're so good on offense. Their passing game is so good. They have to protect him, obviously, but he's battled through that before.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like your heart versus your head when you're talking about the Bengals. They're kind of lovable, but on paper, as you said, they're kind of outmatched.
My heart's pretty firmly behind the Rams now.
Why, you a little bitter?
No, I just think that, like, Matthew Stafford, I'd love to see him get a ring. Aaron Donald deserves a ring. Guys like Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham are approaching that age of their career. We don't know if they're going to get back. They should have a ring. Like, the Rams have a lot of veteran players who have never won a championship. We could just cross all those guys off the list of not having rings. Okay. Maybe it's my being old. I'm cheering for the older guys.
I'm rooting for the road team. I don't like that.
And Jalen Ramsey deserves.
Yeah, he's my least favorite player in the world. He's a Seminole. I can't get behind Jalen Ramsey. I just can't do it. All right, running backs.
Favorite player in the world. That's not true.
No, he's my least favorite player in this game, I think. I saw a Florida State bumper sticker yesterday and I got angry. So it's just deep rooted.
Like, at what point
never
does the irrelevance of Miami and Florida State football start to take some of this hatred out of your heart?
That's like, a good thing about rivalries.
Start hating UCF or something.
Rivalries are always relevant, you know? Rivalries are always relevant. All right, running backs. So who's your favorite running back in this game? Because Mixon's got this terrible matchup, but then you have maybe a split in the Rams backfield.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, shoot, we saw P. Ryan's usage against the Chiefs. So they're going to split in the Bengals backfield, unfortunately, some weeks. And then some weeks they throw the ball to Mixon eight times. So yeah. I don't know which of those weeks it's going to be. But a lot of that P. Ryan usage came with the Chiefs in the lead and the Bengals playing from behind. I think it's going to be a similar game script. I would rank them Akers and then Mixon and then Sony. And then P. Ryan. I like both Sony and P. Ryan as the lower end punt / contrarian plays. I don't plan on playing any Mixon, and I have Akers currently in both of my lineups.
That's exactly what I have. Exactly how
so
I
we
felt.
So what we're saying is, if you want to be contrarian, yeah, play Joe Mixon.
I don't know how people are going to feel about Mixon. He is very involved in the passing game. I know P. Ryan last week, but Mixon still had 27 receiving yards, which was on the low end for him lately. Yeah, he's involved in the passing game. He's going to get a lot of carries. He's got the chance for the touchdown, but the Rams are arguably the best run defense in football, and they've just been smothering players lately. In terms of Rams against running backs in the passing game, they're about average there. They've given up 50 receiving yards to, I think, 5 running backs this year, which is not insignificant, but they've also done a pretty good job against some good pass catching running backs. So they're middle of the pack in that regard. So we like Akers the best, followed by, Mixon and then Sony Michel, and then, you know, P. Ryan would, as you said, be kind of that sleeper, just shot in the dark.
Kind yes. Of
play. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break and talk wide receivers when we get back. This is a really interesting group, obviously, with some serious potential here. And also, I think we'll end the narrative that elite wide receivers never win Super Bowls finally, right? It just, like, it doesn't, well, Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek.
And last year was Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
No. But I mean, that's kind of been the thing. Like these like stud wide receivers, they're not the position to build your team around. I don't. That's kind of been a thing. They usually don't win the Super Bowl.
I think that was a thing like maybe 10 years ago.
No. I have to look into this. Some other time. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Let's talk about those stud wide receivers who always win Super Bowls. So Cooper Kupp, most expensive player on both slates. And I know Frank Stample on FFT and 5 this morning, he said he likes Cooper Kupp to go over. I think it's 106 yards now. Is he what do you think? Must play, good play, avoid? How would you characterize him?
I am trying to fit him in on DraftKings, I would say. And on FanDuel, I just don't think I can pay that much more for him than any other. Like I talked about it, he's a 500 more than Stafford and 1,000 more than Burrow. That's fine. Like they've kind of been in the same range, but he's 3,000 more than any other position player. I don't think there's enough solid value plays on FanDuel for me to be able to fit Kupp into my lineup. But on DraftKings, I will probably have him.
Well, I'll tell you my FanDuel lineup. It's Akers at MVP, Kupp, Higgins, Stafford, and then Kendall Blanton, who could be Tyler Higbee or CJ Uzama. They're all, you know, I can afford them all. I've got so much money, but that's like all my salary. But, you know, it's only one kind of wacky play. It's a tight end, and then it's Stafford, Kupp, Higgins, and Akers. So I did manage to get Kupp in there. He's so good.
So you did not play Burrow?
I did not play Burrow, no.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I've got both quarterbacks on both, and that's probably why I can't. Like, you could. Yeah. I think you could still play Kupp and both quarterbacks, but you're going to have to play two punt plays.
All right, I'll just take Akers out and I'll put Burrow in and see. I have Kendall Blanton and now, oh man. Okay, so yeah. I'd have to take Higgins out and go with a...
I think realistically on FanDuel, you're looking at two out of three Stafford, Kupp, and Burrow.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. And you went Burrow and Stafford and I went Kupp and Stafford. Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm really I'm going to struggle probably up until kickoff because I have I can just give my FanDuel lineup now as well, right?
Yeah. We'll do it again later.
I've got Stafford, Burrow, Chase, Akers, and Sample.
Stafford, Burrow, Chase, Akers, and Sample.
But I have 1,000 to play with. And so I could use that to upgrade from Burrow to Cooper Kupp. I could use that to upgrade from Sample to Uzama or P. Ryan or Sony Michel even.
I wonder who's better in FanDuel, half PPR, Kupp or Burrow?
I mean, for the season, it's been Kupp.
Because it's 4 points per passing touchdown.
Right. But I just, and that's the thing, like, it's difficult because we, going into next year, no one's going to project Cooper Kupp to score as many fantasy points per game as he has this season. We can agree on that, right? We're not going to project him to be at 26 fantasy points per game or whatever he was in PPR. And so when you look at him averaging two more fantasy points per game than the quarterbacks, we don't think that's going to happen next year. Do we want to bet on it happening one more game? Is it more likely to happen in this game because it's still part of this season? I don't think it really is.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's just shredding everyone. But nah, it's a good point. Well, all right. So there you go. Two out of three of those of the two quarterbacks in Cooper Kupp. That's how we're going to approach it on FanDuel. So which other wide receivers just do you like in general? Do you think might give you some value this week?
I'm going to struggle a lot with Beckham versus Higgins. Chase will still be my second favorite wide receiver in the game. And I think I prefer Higgins over Beckham where they're equally priced, which is on FanDuel. I didn't DraftKings, man, that Beckham's more than Higgins. So I would go Cup, then Chase, then Higgins, although maybe Higgins over Chase on DraftKings, and then Beckham. And then if you need a punt, like Tyler Boyd is 5,400 on DraftKings. That's really cheap.
Right, and Frank Stanfield made the point, if Uzama is limited, then that could certainly help Tyler Boyd, because Uzama is getting about 7 targets per game lately. I don't know if this matters to you. I'll throw this stat out there. The Bengals have not allowed more than 70 yards. Sorry. They have not allowed 70 yards to multiple wide receivers. So the number two guy, you know, the second wide receiver, or a second wide receiver, has not had 70 yards in 8 straight games for the Bengals. So they're giving up points to one guy, doing pretty well against the other guys. There have been some exceptions. Like last week, Mecole Hardman didn't have 70 yards, but he caught a touchdown. I don't remember. James Prochet, I think, had a good game. But for the most part, it's been one guy beating Cincinnati. Also, surprise. Mike McClure is here.
Hey!
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've been better, been worse, but I'm here. How are you guys doing?
I don't know.
I just assume like you waited for us to talk and say a bunch of stupid things, and now you're going to come in and just tell us all the ways that we were wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, well, there's no reason to hide what happened. there are these things called time zones, and I am living in the central time zone, not in Eastern time, and had not checked anything yet today. I was getting up, preparing, thinking that everything was going to be fine, and I realized that I am not very smart at times, and I'm an hour late.
No, you are not. You are 45 minutes late. Give yourself a little bit of credit, Mike, okay?
I was on time for Central Time. That's all I'm going to say.
You were early. All right, so I'm going to fire some questions at you. Catch up. Okay. Give me your one-game slate strategy, how to win, how to be different, that kind of stuff.
The number one piece of advice I could recommend, especially on a slate like this, where it's a lot of contest size, like the sizing is huge. There's way more entries than a normal week, too. Do not use all of the salary cap no matter what. The easiest way to get different and make sure that you're not going to be the same as a lot of the competitors is to, so if it's a $50,000 salary cap, at least use 49.9. But if you really want to take it down to 49.7, you eliminate the possibility of having your lineup being duplicated significantly. So that's going to be the first piece of advice I would recommend. The second piece is going to be kickers and defenses are your best friend, especially kickers, because in normal DFS, we don't use kickers. So it's not on anyone's mind for the most part. You have a lot more people, some more casual players coming in for the Super Bowl in general. Use the kickers. They're $4,000 essentially for the most part. And go look at the kickers that are playing in this game. When was the last time Evan McPherson didn't score double digit fantasy points, even on the PPR site like that? That's going to be your best friend. Don't use the salary all the way and make sure you're including a defense or a kicker. That's definitely going to be key in this game.
Well, I just changed my FanDuel lineup because I had used all my salary and I replaced Kendall Blanton with a kicker with Evan McPherson. And now I've got $1,000 left and I just guarantee myself some winnings, basically, is the way I enjoy it.
That's exactly how it works. Exactly.
Well, we'll pick it up from the wide receiver discussion here. So give me your overall thoughts, Mike, on wide receivers and who the best values are, who to play, who to avoid.
Yeah, so it's on the DFS pod, Frank likes to say, fade Cooper Kupp at your own risk. That is definitely the statement anytime he takes the field. So obviously like Cooper Kupp, but you have to take a stand somewhere, right? You have to take a stand, whether you're fading Cooper Kupp, fading Jamar Chase. If you want to get really cute, fade both of them. That's likely what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be looking, I love Odell Beckham in the spot. He's definitely my favorite wide receiver of the bunch. I think that he is someone, he also has a ton of, obviously everyone has contract incentives. Everyone wants to win. He has really elevated his play as he's been able to hit some of these contract incentives down the stretch. But I really love the way that Stafford trusts him. So Odell Beckham is my favorite. He is top priority in wide receivers for me. The only other comment I'll make on Chase, I'm very interested to see if he continues to touch the ball out of the backfield and run it, you know, catch or running with mm-hmm. the ball. He's done that a lot in the last, I say a lot. He's done that more in the final few weeks here. I'm wondering if we're going to see a lot more of that, especially with the pass rush that the Rams are able to generate. So I think that that does maybe increase his floor a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to be used like Deebo Samuel, but Odell Beckham, my favorite, T. Higgins, second favorite. And then after that, I think you could take dart throws with Skowronek on a site like DraftKings just because of the pricing, and it allows you to get some of the other players in there. But Odell Beckham, definitely the top priority.
So does that mean you're going to have both quarterbacks in most of your lineups if you don't have a lot of Kupp and Chase?
Yes, and some of the running backs. I like the running backs on the Rams side. It's just difficult to say exactly where we're going to be as far as who, you know, you have to build for certain scripts, right? So I'll be playing multiple lineups on it, and you'll basically build a lineup for each given back. I think like mixing Sony Michelle, like we have no real clue what the workload's going to look like there, but it's not unreasonable to think that he's going to score a touchdown in the game, that he could score a touchdown in the game. So I'll have a lineup built for that particular script to play out. But typically, yes, in, you know, basic showdown strategy, you're going to want to find running backs, quarterbacks, kickers, basically, because that's going to enable you to have exposure to all of the scoring points. Like, say, Ja'Marr Chase having a big day. We know basic correlations. Like, you can't – the quarterback is going to get exposure to the passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So in these games like this, you know, on the Bengals side, you don't have a ton of – secondary players that are catching passes, but like in Kansas City games, for example, we always want Mahomes because we don't necessarily know which one of those wide receiver three and fours are going to catch passes. In this game, I do think that you see, now that they've had more time to prepare for it, we're going to see players that we're not expecting to catch the passes. So I would prioritize the quarterbacks for sure. As far as playing both of them, it's going to be difficult, in my opinion, to get both of them in the lineup.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Wow, Heath, we should just scrap the first half
No,
hour.
I think I have a question and then a suggestion. The first question is who, like on DraftKings, and if you have speculation on FanDuel as well, who are the two or three chalkiest MVPs on DraftKings in your projections? Like who is everybody playing in the MVP spot this week?
I mean, everyone's going to try to jam Cooper Kupp in for sure.
Okay.
Cam Akers is going to be a popular choice as
That's
well.
That's who I had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are definitely going to be the top two.
Okay.
After that, it's, you know, you'll see ownership on several guys, but it's going to be Cooper Kupp, Cam Akers are by far going to be the two most popular.
Okay.
Quarterbacks don't tend, you know, in cash games, quarterbacks tend to be a little more popular, but in tournaments, I think trying to play a quarterback at captain is very, I wouldn't recommend it in tournaments just because it's the math on it. It gets relatively difficult to make it work there because they've got to be throwing touchdown passes to receivers.
I would assume on FanDuel, it's going to be, because there's no difference in the price, it's going to be either Stafford, Kupp, or Burrow in the MVP spot for the most part.
Correct. Yes, on FanDuel, yeah, where there's no incentive to, yeah, it'll definitely be those three on FanDuel.
Okay, now, Adam, my suggestion was, can we get Mike to rate your lineup on how chalky it is?
My FanDuel lineup?
No, well, do you have FanDuel or DraftKings? I have DraftKings, both. And you got a FanDuel, right?
I have both.
You have both? Yeah. Okay.
What do you want me to do?
I would guess it's like 9 out of 10.
Okay, so do you want me to do my FanDuel lineup or my DraftKings lineup?
I don't care.
Okay, here's my FanDuel lineup. I have Cam Akers at the MVP. I have
on FanDuel?
Yes.
Okay.
I have Kupp, Stafford, Higgins, and McPherson.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you're not the only one that's going to be playing that lineup, that's for sure. But
no, I am though. I asked like a lot of people, thousands of them. I told them, please don't. I really would like this lineup.
Okay, so on DraftKings, my first build had Akers in the MVP, Chalk King, with Stafford, Burrow, Cup, the Rams, and Matt Gay.
I like it.
So I think that's pretty chalky, except for the fact that I don't think many people are going to play Matt Gay over Evan McPherson.
Right. I definitely agree with that. I do have them very close in some of the ownership projections, but they're not those numbers could flip very, very easily, because I do agree with you that a lot of people are going to prioritize McPherson over Evan Gay Matt Gay over Evan McPherson. Looking at some of the ownership I wanted to pull up here, I actually don't have Akers being now as popular. I don't know if it's just some of the report, which is a good thing in the captain spot. Right. I'm showing now in some of the latest runs, Jamar Chase is still going to be more popular in the captain than Cam Akers.
Okay.
Which is a great thing to see if you like Cam Akers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, can you be chalkier in 50-50s and cash games rather than tournaments, though? Should you be?
I mean, you should be. So what I like to do in those situations, I'll be chalky if there's three guys that I just really want to have no matter what. And that'll be like Cooper Kupp, Akers, Stafford, whatever it may be. But that's where I would still like to get different with one spot. Just completely different at one of the spots, just because it gives you so much leverage. Even there, just because in a one game, you have to treat it a little bit differently than, even the two game slate, right? Or even a normal 10 game slate during the season. With one game, you got to do something different for the most part in those spots. So whether it's like one thing I would recommend, frankly, if it's say you want to play Cooper Kupp at a captain and you're wanting to normally handcuff him with Matthew Stafford, replace Stafford with Joe Burrow. Just make that one simple change. I know obviously Stafford and Kupp have that correlation, but Burrow isn't completely uncorrelated to that, because if they're scoring touchdowns, sure, if Cooper Kupp's having a big game, it's very likely that the Bengals are trailing. Joe Burrow has to throw more, has to do more. So just little things like that that might seem a little unconventional, I think that you should try to do that to get different in ways.
All right, Heath, let's talk about tight ends here. And both starting tight ends are injured, so it's weird. But these guys were more involved lately, pretty inexpensive. And then, the backups could be okay. So what do you think about the tight ends?
I'm hopeful that both of the starting tight ends are active and play. And then I'm going to play the backup tight ends. Is kind of how I'm looking at the tight end. I've got Drew Sample locked into my FanDuel lineup right now, and I think as long as Uzama is active, then there's going to be very few people on him. And really, with these guys, you're just like, they're not going to have a great catch day. They're not going to have a great yardage day. You're hoping they catch a touchdown, and so that's, and Sample I think is a little bit cheaper than Blanton, right? Or are they the same?
Oh, well, let's see. I'll tell you on
FanDuel. They're mostly the same.
Sample is 6,500 on FanDuel, and Blanton is 8,000. So big difference there. And then, DraftKings, Sample is 4,200, and Blanton is 46.
So a bigger difference on FanDuel. I didn't have either of them on DraftKings, but I do have Sample on FanDuel.
Okay. Mike, anything you want to say about tight ends?
Mostly the same strategy there. I'm hoping that at least one of the two will play. If they do, I do love going right back to those backups. That's basically all you can get to on tight ends. They don't really have a ton of depth either team, unfortunately. So it's likely going to be fade them completely. That'd basically be my recommendation. Fade them completely if it's backups only that are playing. And then play the backups if the starters are actually out there. I think those are the two ways that you're going to be able to get different enough, just because we know that they're going to be super popular if both of those guys are unable to play. So that's likely what I would do in that spot.
All right. And then, Mike, why don't you take us through DSTs and kickers and the best ones and how important they are to have in your lineup?
Yeah, so the kickers, more so on DraftKings. I mean, you like them in both spots, right? But on DraftKings, they're so cheap relative to some of their performance on a single game. You go look at, you know, I'm looking at most of my lineups here are double kicker lineups. So I don't know. Am I allowed to just like read off a lineup?
Yeah,
to you?
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Please.
Okay. So I'm just going to read this lineup here. It's a Cooper Kupp lineup. I think it's going to be incredibly chalky. It uses all of the salary. So I think you're going to see this lineup. It might be the most duplicated lineup in the entire tournament. But it's Cooper Kupp, Matt Gay, Evan McPherson, Cam Akers, Matthew Stafford, and T. Higgins. That's just like a standard basic lineup where you got both of the kickers in there. And it allows you to get Cooper Kupp at the captain, his quarterback, his running back, and then T. Higgins. So basically the game script there that you're building for is a Rams win. Cooper Kupp does his thing. Evan McPherson kicks a few field goals. T. Higgins catches some passes over the middle. The Bengals don't score a lot of touchdowns. That's basically what you're betting on in that. But the point is the kickers, I have them pretty much everywhere here. At $4,000, $3,800. Like I said, just click on Evan McPherson's game log and then go try to find a pass catcher outside of Odell Beckham and Cooper Kupp, really, that consistently every single week score double-digit fantasy points. It's really, really difficult to do, especially when you factor in the price point.
And they're better. They're scoring more than the DSTs?
Yes. I mean, the DSTs can definitely score more at times. Obviously, the benefit that you have with the DST is they start with 10 points when the game starts. And then points can get removed.
It's a lot more fun to look at if you're one of those people that watches the score throughout the whole game. It's much more fun to play the double DST at the start.
Double DST at the start with one of them in the captain, and you've got yourself a very nice screenshot for about 8 minutes.
That's awesome.
But like, it's almost as simple, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but the kickers are good plays, period, on DraftKings. The kickers are contrarian plays on FanDuel.
Correct.
There's players priced similar to the kickers that have more upside on FanDuel, but they're going to be a higher roster rate probably.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
All right. So Heath, what's your final lineup that you want to give?
So I gave my DraftKings. I guess I'll give my FanDuel. It's super chalk except for the one guy that I said. So I've got Stafford as the MVP, Stafford, Burrow, Akers, Chase, and Drew Sample as the just score a touchdown and then let everything else go chalk.
Okay. And then Mike, you want to give that lineup again that you talked about?
I'll give a slightly different lineup, but,
this is what, DraftKings or FanDuel?
This is going to be DraftKings.
Okay.
Let's see. I thought I had ready. Maybe I don't.
No, time zone.
I don't have that
time
one
zone. It's okay.
it'll be ready at 11 p.m. Central Time.
No problem, man. No problem. And then I'm working on lineups here. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I'm going to do a tournament. I think I'm going to do a cash game and be a little chalkier. It's kind of where I live.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
You are the first person that I've met who has said out loud that you are playing a one-game cash game.
What do you mean?
Like, I know they play them. The contests always fill.
Oh, yeah.
I never actually heard someone say they were going to play a 50-50 on a showdown slate.
And I like Akers and Higgins, I think, are the two guys I'm going to be focusing on. So that's kind of where I've... And then if you play them, they're not my best players. You can throw the quarterbacks and Kupp in there as well. But
right. I think Akers and Higgins. I think like the thing that Mike said, because... If you play, I would assume, in a cash game with Akers and Higgins, you're currently tied with 80% of the field, or maybe it's 70% of the field. You're going to have to, like, that one guy that you play that's different. If you play the two quarterbacks, then maybe you're at 60% of the field now.
Yeah, well, I got to do is be top 50%. All right, I'm close.
Yeah, that one guy you play is going to be key. Yeah. He'd better do something.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll just play all the chalk guys. I'll let the other people try to outsmart themselves. You know, that's how.
There you go. Yeah. That's how you do it.
All right. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. Make sure you follow Mike McClure, read him on Sportsline, and listen to the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. Listen to the Early Edge podcast. And remember, the Early Edge is live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern on Sunday until the end of the game with your best bets. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.